Know your constituency. The RTE Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.
Hello, welcome to Know Your Constituency. Across 43 episodes of this podcast, we'll be mapping out the geography and politics of all 43 constituencies, which will determine the makeup of the 34th Dáil and, of course, the next government. We'll outline all the essentials, the seats, the seat holders, the soon-to-be former seat holders, and all the background crack and everything else we find in between. I'm Colm O'Mungine. I'm joined once again by the ever-present Barry Lennon, and also with us is Cúin O'Sheridan, political correspondent with Radio na Gaeltachta. How are you, lads?
Well, Colm.
We're in Dún Laoghaire for this episode, Barry. Let's start off where we always start, with the seats and the seat holders.
And this often a highly contested contest, and four incumbents standing their ground once again. They are the Green Party Minister Oisín Smith, Richard Boyd Barrett of the People Before Profit, Jennifer Carroll McNeill of Fine Gael, and Cormac Devlin of Fianna Fáil.
Important boundary changes here, Cúin. Tell us what they are.
It's an affluent constituency. At the average, it may have gone down a little bit with the move of Stillorgan, Leopardstown, Foxrock, Torquay and Carrick Mines out. That's about 12,000 people there moving into Rathdown. But you still have 14 affluent electoral divisions, 19 marginally above average and 6 marginally below average. So this is an affluent constituency, and the votes and the issues will reflect that. But there are pockets in this constituency which are not so affluent, and there will be other issues coming to the fore there.
Okay, key issues motivating people in Dún Laoghaire, as you say, different things to different people in different areas, but in summary, what are they?
The demographics in Dún Laoghaire are more like the average nationally than anywhere else in Dublin. Maybe Dún Laoghaire people will be angry that I call it part of Dublin. But they're reflected in the issues people are talking about. The seafront in Dún Laoghaire, traffic planning around Dún Laoghaire village, they're big issues. The neglect of some of the working class areas, special needs education, temporary facilities, childcare, the lack of childcare and the cost of childcare. These are all issues which are being discussed locally. There is a slight possibility of the issue of wind turbines being placed on the Kish Bank coming up as an issue in the area. It's been mentioned a little bit. It's on the radar, but it doesn't seem to be a huge issue at the moment. But they're generally, this is an affluent constituency where there are high rates of satisfaction amongst most of the constituency's population with the way things are currently. But there are pockets where there are votes to be won on wedge issues.
Okay, let's get into the runners and the riders. We'll give our usual health warning that nominations haven't closed. This is just at the time of recording, so more names can still be added to this ticket, and we'll round those up with Barry after nominations officially close and the election has been announced with all that significant news. But now, Barry, where do you want to start in Dún Laoghaire?
Well, this should be a penalty kick for Fine Gael to add a seat here. It only has one seat at present with Jennifer Carroll McNeill. I spied a little document that Fine Gael had before the last election, and Dún Laoghaire was just behind Mayo as the most Fine Gael constituency in the country, and those results have followed through in the years since. The local elections, around 35-36% across the constituency. Even in the last general election, remember, Fine Gael went in with controversy around Simon Harris's cousin, then TD Maria Bailey, and it only lost 1.7 percentage points on their vote. So their vote held in spite of all the hoopla around Maria Bailey. So this is real fertile ground for Fine Gael. Jennifer Carroll McNeill is joined on the ticket by Barry Ward, who was there the last time. The party ran three candidates in 2020, an ill-fated strategy which saw it only return one TD, Barry Ward, accruing 9.2% of the vote. If they're on 36%, it doesn't really matter what they do. They should return two TDs, you'd expect. But I do detect a hint of apprehension amongst some within the party, and indeed the feeling amongst other local political observers around Barry Ward's candidature and whether he can pull in the Fine Gael vote. Of course, some of his competitors at the selection convention also expressed concerns, namely Marie Baker in a letter to members before that, but Barry Ward cleaned the floor at that selection convention. Ultimately, Fine Gael, they'll have to manage the vote and ensure Jennifer Carroll McNeill is not too far ahead, but one local political apparatchik told me how surpluses are vanity projects, so expect perhaps a clean, razor-like division of this constituency in the final week of the campaign between Jennifer Carroll McNeill and Barry Ward, which should deliver Barry Ward a seat at last. He's been trying since 2011 to run here and get into Dáil Éireann. The senator should become a TD. One fly in the ointment, though, is talking to sources in Fine Gael HQ, is they still haven't ruled out at the time of recording running a third candidate here, a female candidate, as they believe it would be relatively risk-free. So I'm not sure Mr Ward would be too happy with that. But on the information to hand, it's two Fine Gael seats in what is a bastion of Fine Gael.
All right, so I love your optimism about the razor-like division of any constituency and candidates
former director of elections here, Paddy Hayes, the late Paddy Hayes. He was actually an espionage novelist in his spare time as well. His wife was a TD for this constituency, has run famous razor-like divisions, famously sending 10,000 letters out in 2011 to get Mary Mitchell O'Connor a seat alongside Sean Barrett, which actually squeezed out on that occasion Ivana Bacik. I know we're going into the weeds here, but you'd have to say Fine Gael should be taking two seats here, and it's one of their key target seats and a banker on their list in the vault in Fine Gael HQ on Man Street.
Coon, Fianna Fáil have done well over the course of time in this constituency. They have a sitting TD here. They'd be hoping, obviously, to hold that seat.
Yes, but he's vulnerable. Cormac Devlin was about 29 votes behind Barry Ward on the first count the last time he overtook him. With transfers from Mary Hannafin, who went out early enough in the count the last time. And then he overtook Mary Mitchell O'Connor to take the final seat, but it was very close in the end. There were only 400 votes in it. At the moment, Fianna Fáil are not looking very strong in this constituency. On the council, they only have two seats. Fine Gael have nine. That's a huge difference between the two parties. And Cormac will have to perform very, very well on the first count to be able to shout at getting a seat. And I don't see where his transfers are going to come from. If there's a strong personal vote for him there and it manifests itself, a vote that is well above Fianna Fáil's performance in the local elections, then there is a chance. But I would say he's in trouble.
Yeah, I think he's, along with Stephen Donnelly, Fianna Fáil's most vulnerable seat that they currently hold in the country. Cormac Devlin did benefit from some rather unusual or unexpected transfers from Aintu and the independent John Waters the last time, which saw him ultimately eke ahead and get the seat. At the moment, Fianna Fáil are on 0.77 of a quota in this constituency. They too lost votes in the redraw, losing votes around Cabinteely Park, which would have belonged to Mary Hannafin. Of course, he's the sole candidate on the ticket of Fianna Fáil in this area, characterised by the Battle of Black Rock between Devlin and Hannafin, or Hannafin and Kate Feeney, who's now also departed. But Cormac Devlin looks very, very vulnerable. The one thing that is said about him, though, is that he's an excellent constituency worker, excellent local constituency worker. So maybe that might get him in the race. He's certainly in the mix anyway, but he does look very vulnerable.
Yeah, he is in the mix. He's working hard, but he will need a lot of things to go his way on the day.
As we know, a fan of the toy show, he wanted to know why his children asked him why the toy man was always on the news at the height of the RTE controversies. And they might be asking, why is daddy on the news on the night of the general election, depending on what way it goes, if it's on December 6th.
The RTE media committee made stars of many. Let's see how many of them might get elected. This was a Fianna Fáil stronghold, though, going back a while. You look at David Andrews, then Barry Andrews and Mary Hannafin. So Fianna Fáil do have a core vote in this constituency. But on the local elections, they had a catastrophic day. So they need to pull up their socks.
Right. The Civil War animosity is fading, and we're seeing that line getting more and more blurred as the years go by.
Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profits leader. Coon, he has votes from the more disadvantaged areas, as you've described, in this constituency, but across the board as well. He has a large personal vote, both on the domestic and local issues he campaigns on, but also on the more global issues he speaks on as well across the constituency.
He has a high national profile, and he draws votes for many different reasons. He draws votes for economic reasons, because of the policies he represents, especially from Ballybrack and Sally Noggin. But he also draws votes on other issues. I mean, he's been very prominent in recent years on human rights issues, questions to do with Palestine, the ongoing issues in Gaza and in southern Lebanon. And I'm not sure that this is a constituency where that plays a huge amount, but there have been a lot of vigils and protests in the area, and that may be bringing new people on stream who may help increase his own personal vote. out in this campaign. He's the only contender we're seeing for the four seats who's not a government TD, and this surely should bring him a few extra votes.
Right. Especially and People Before Profit's antipathy to the property tax doesn't hurt in a constituency like Dunleary either, Barry.
No, and he does rein in some of the more affluent voters as well. Going back to protests around the Dunleary baths, he took 15.5% of the vote the last time. There are more working class areas in this constituency as well, around Ballybrack, Loughlinstown, Sallynoggan and so forth, and the local election results looked good for the party there. For example, in Killiney Shankill, the party's former press officer Dave O'Keefe eked out a seat despite the presence of a gene pool People Before Profit independent candidate in Hugh Lewis. So Richard Boyd Barrett's vote looks rather sturdy. He'll also benefit from the fact that he's now been nominated as the party's leader, so he'll be asking questions in the Dáil during leaders' questions, but also presumably be put forward to participate in leaders' debates and so on and so forth as well. And that's always a big help in a contest such as this.
The Greens as well, Coon, were strong in this constituency. That's good for Oisín Smith, who's a junior minister and sitting TD.
A reasonable performance as well in the local elections. They got three councillors elected, so they're the second largest single party on the council locally. Oisín Smith did extremely well the last time out. He upped his vote by over 6,000 first preferences, and that got him into the second position on the first count. There is a feeling that nationally the Greens have a little bit of a wind against them, but Smith has been working very hard locally and is very visible and has been very prominent in a number of campaigns, and this is the kind of constituency where he should pick up some preferences, especially if there are huge Fine Gael surpluses or Fine Gaelers going out a little bit early in the count.
And don't forget as well, across Dunleary Rathdown, across this constituency and the neighbouring Dublin Rathdown, the Green Party had six candidates standing. They had six council seats. Five of the candidates were new or hadn't been before the electorate before, and all six got elected. So the Green Party brand is strong in this part of the world. My spies tell me he's been out knocking on doors furiously, Oisín Smith, as of all the candidates, mind you. But the Green Party, it's not a slam dunk for Oisín Smith by any stretch of the imagination. One would expect it'll be between him and Cormac Devlin for the final seat. And the Green Party do have deep roots in this constituency, going back to Kieran Cuff winning a seat for the party in 2002 on a day when Fine Gael remarkably managed to win 0 out of 5.
All right, it's an area where Labour has been elected before. Councillor Martha Fanning is in the running for them, and the Social Democrats are running Hugo Mills. So Oisín Smith might be looking for transfers post elimination from those candidates, although of course it's important not to write them off at this stage.
Yeah, it's probably a two electoral cycle for Martha Fanning, is what party strategists believe within the Labour Party, that maybe at the next election she might be there. Of course, the party has had candidate issues in Dunleary around its previous general election candidate, Juliet O'Connell. So too have the Social Democrats have issues in this constituency around their local election candidate, Orla Delgani, initially selected in June as well. So both parties not without their problems. Martha Fanning is being talked up by some as having chance. Of course, Eamon Gilmore had a seat here. Both Eamon Gilmore and Niamh Brannock held seats here for Labour going back oh so many years ago, but that does seem in a past political lifetime. Be interested to see what Fanning can accrue, if she can improve on the performance of Labour the last time, which was 4.8%, then maybe it would be a good day at the office for them. But ultimately, her transfers could prove pivotal for Oisín Smith if he's to hold the seat.
Okay. Stick your neck out time on this four-seater, Coon. Reluctant, of course, as always, to ask you to do this before the campaign kicks off in earnest. So put your name on it at this stage. Four seats, who are they going to go to?
If Fine Gael can remain disciplined and only run two candidates, I think they're absolutely locked in for two seats here. If they don't, it looks a little bit different, I think. If they run three, I think that helps actually Cormac Devlin, paradoxically. I do think Richard Boyd Barrett is fairly secure here, but if Fine Gael win two seats, then the last seat will be between Cormac Devlin and Oisín Smith. And for Oisín Smith, it will really depend on whether or not the Labour and Social Democrat transfers go in his direction, or whether they go into boosting Richard Boyd Barrett's vote more than Richard Boyd Barrett needs.
Barry?
Yeah, Sinn Féin's Shane O'Brien also in the field, and his elimination could prove key here as well. Ultimately, it's hard not to see Fine Gael taking a seat if they manage the vote correctly and run two candidates with Jennifer Carroll McNeill and Barry Ward. Richard Boyd Barrett of People Before Profit should also be safe. And then it's really down to the two government parties, Oisín Smith of the Green Party and Cormac Devlin of Fianna Fáil, for that final seat. Very, very difficult to call at the moment. You'd have to say it's advantage Smith, but one thing to watch out for, I'm told in this constituency, is that many of the candidates will be targeting Black Rock. So if you're going for a pint in the wishing well, you'll probably have a pocket stuffed full of canvassing paper as you go in to get it.
All right, you mentioned Shane O'Brien there. He was a Sinn Féin councillor in the constituency in the 2014 local elections and again in 2019, but lost out in the 2016 and 2020 general election. So you're neither of you holding out too much hope there.
I mean, he did get 6,000 first preferences in 2020, but again, I think that was part of this Sinn Féin gale in that election, and I just don't see that manifesting itself to the same extent this time. He got 3,000 votes or so in 2016 in the first count, so I think we'll be back to that kind of a level maximum.
Lost out the last time with the gale behind him, but I live in this constituency. I met one of his canvassers coming out of the bookmakers there a few weeks ago, and they did say that they're throwing a lot more at this campaign than they did in 2020, perhaps caught unexpectedly by the gale the last time. But again, this was Sinn Féin's lowest share of the vote nationally in 2020, so far from a party heartland.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Barry, you'll be back with us, of course, for the usual update after nominations close. Our thanks to Cormac Burke for all his research. Dave Gibson was on sound. Our producer was Ciarán Dunn. And do remember to tune in to RTÉ Radio 1 for full results throughout results weekend. You can also tune in to RTÉ One Television and all the digital platforms for full coverage of the 43 constituencies.
Know your constituency. The RTÉ Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.